Hello, this is Pastor Becca Bateman of Doylestown Presbyterian Church. As our podcast audience continues to grow, I want to thank our loyal listeners and welcome those who may have just recently found us. We know that life can quickly become so busy, so this podcast offers an on-the-go opportunity to hear Sunday's sermon, along with a scripture lesson from that day's lay leader or preacher. We also encourage you to visit our website at dtownpc.org to learn more about our church and all the diverse ministries. Thank you for tuning in.
Our first lesson comes from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. One verse. Paul writes, "We are fools for the sake of Christ." And then reading from the 12th chapter of the book of Acts, some selected verses. "About that time, King Herod laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. While Peter was kept in prison, the church prayed fervently for God for him. Peter was bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And then Peter, realizing he had been released, said, 'I must go to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered and were praying.' He went and knocked at the outer gate. A maid named Rhoda came to answer. On recognizing Peter's voice, she was overjoyed that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. And they said to her, 'You are out of your mind.' And this is the word of the Lord." Let us pray. Gracious God, as once again we come into this beautiful sanctuary, we pray that you enter the sanctuary of each heart and quiet in us every voice but your own. Amen. I'm sure some of you have heard or even said, God works in strange and mysterious ways. And God does. And there's a lot of strange and mysterious things happening in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. Remember now, Peter is in prison. It is the night before Herod plans to rub him out, just as he had done to James. And then an angel of the Lord appears in the prison cell. Now, Peter must have been a very sound sleeper, because the Bible says the angel had to poke him in the side to wake him up. And then the angel said, "Shh, be quiet. We're going to break out of this slammer. Grab your clothes. And be sure to whisper, and don't trip over the guards who are sleeping." Now, at the very same time, just down the lane, at the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, there was a prayer meeting, a powerful prayer meeting. And they were all gathered there praying for God to somehow have Peter released from prison. And so there you have it, side by side at the same time, a daring prison break by an angel and a bunch of folks praying like mad for the release of Peter. Interesting, isn't it, how the two come together? Wasn't it Tennyson who said, "More things happen through prayer than this world could ever dream of"? A jailbreak and a prayer meeting all at the same time. Well, if you follow along in the story, the first thing Peter does after he realizes he's out of the slammer is to run to the house where they're having the prayer meeting. And so he knocks on the door. The doors were locked because they weren't expecting Peter to show up. But Peter knocks on the door and says, "It's me, Peter." Now, all the folks who were in the prayer meeting were so deep in prayer that none of them heard the knocking at the door, except for the maid who said, "I hear that." Her name was Rhoda. And so Rhoda runs toward the door and she recognizes the voice of Peter. And she's so excited, she forgets to let him in. She runs back to the prayer meeting. And she interrupts them with a surprise. "Your prayers have been answered. Peter's here." Now, if it had been a Baptist prayer meeting, they would have raised their hands and said, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, our prayers have been answered." But it looked more like a Presbyterian prayer meeting. Verse 15, they said to her, "You're out of your mind." Now, if you think I'm making all of this up, just read it. It's all there in the 12th chapter. "You're out of your mind." Now, I ran this scene past a member of the staff this week, and I'm not going to embarrass them, but Lene said, "Well, that's not a big surprise. It was probably full of men at the prayer meeting. And they don't listen or believe anything we say. They didn't even believe us when we told them on Easter he was alive." And you know she's right. They didn't believe her. "You're out of your mind." Some translations say you're crazy. Some say you're mad. The Greek really does come out to "you're out of your mind." Meanwhile, Peter's outside knocking on the door, saying, "Please, can someone let me in?" And so they all rush over and they open the door and there he is. And the Bible says they were amazed. I bet they were amazed. Now, there are a lot of amazing things in that story and you can spin it a lot of different ways. But what intrigued me was verse 15. "You are out of your mind." The same folks who were in a prayer meeting. "You're out of your mind." I think to a lot of folks in the world, Christians sometimes seem to be out of their minds. They keep believing, they keep hoping, they keep trusting, they keep praying, they keep doing those things that they hope are pleasing to the Lord. Sometimes to the outer world, it looks like we're out of our minds. And I think that's what Paul had in mind when he said, "We are all fools for the sake of Christ." You're out of your mind. So let that lean on us for a moment this morning. You're out of your mind. Frederick Buechner, in his delightful book, The Magnificent Defeat, says that the ideal Christian should have three persons: the poet, the lunatic, and the lover. I like the lunatic part. Buechner goes on to say, "I hope there is a fair amount of lunacy in you. I hope there are some wild ideas for God. Just like that wild idea of love that sends a son to a cross to die. Back then, and even now, people look at that and say, what foolishness, sheer insanity, that someone would love you so much. Sheer insanity. Buechner goes on to say, as I look back over my life, I wish I had been more of a fool. Oh, I've been a fool a lot of times, and I have done foolish things in my life. But I wish I had been more of a fool for the sake of Jesus Christ. He said, you know, that I would bet my fate and my future on the goodness of God and not my own cleverness. He said, oh, there were moments, a few moments, when I believed in the face of doubt. When I trusted in the face of uncertainty, when I did the right and good thing when it would have been easier not to. I wish I had been more of a fool for Jesus Christ, that I would bet my life and go into this world armed with nothing but faith and a prayer. I wish I had been more of a fool for Jesus Christ. You know, to many who watch and look at us, we do appear to be lunatics, lunatics for the Lord, fools for Jesus Christ. Now, it seems to me, on a day like today, that this is a good day to remember what you have done with God. It's a good day to remember how you got to this place. Now, I don't know about you, but I think John Baker and John Wellingham are both lunatics. Lunatics for the Lord. They believed, and you believed. And because you believed together, it happened. It happened. So here's the best part. God's not done with you yet. Not by a long shot. He's still calling you. He is calling you to be a fool for the sake of the gospel. He's calling you just as he called you in the past. He's calling you now into this future. And so each of us in our own way want to follow, and we will follow, because of God's love for each one of you. So, thinking about this day, we had a member, an anonymous member, who paid for these automobile magnets that you slap on the back of your car. We have one for each of you, only one per family. And it says DPC. Now, we want to do that because it might be a little reminder to you what you and your fellow worshipers and God have done. It's a good reminder. But more than that, it's kind of a quiet Presbyterian method of evangelism. You see, if that's on your car, someone might notice it and say, oh, what's DPC? And you say, oh, that's, you know, Doylestown Presbyterian Church, where I go to church. And they might say, oh, aren't you the ones that built bridges? Yes, we not only build a bridge, but we are a bridge. We are a bridge to this world and this community and to each other. We are a bridge, we are a beacon of light, of God's love and social justice and peace and mercy and forgiveness and grace. That's who DPC is, a bridge into this world of God's love. And by the way, if you don't have a church home, why don't you come check us out? And they might say, well, maybe I will. By the way, what are the people that church really like? And you just smile. And you say, you know, to be honest with you, we're a bunch of lunatics for the Lord. We're fools for the sake of Jesus Christ, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you again for joining us today. Once again, I invite you to check out dtownpc.org for information about our worship and programming for all ages.